Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, and welcome to part two of our God's Plan series, where our goal is to get God's plan in your mind. That in your everyday going about, you're going to work, your everyday ordinary life, that God's plan would be in your mind so that what? Your thoughts can be aligned with God, so then you can get a great imagination with God, you can get a vision with God, and we can make a difference together, amen? And but before we go on any further, I just wanted to take a moment here and celebrate all of our crew leaders and assistant leaders that are stepping up and really taking on more to lead and make a difference. 41 crews. I'm just so excited about that. All over our city, carrying the light of Jesus into every part of our city. And now's the time to start getting registered. You can use a card on your seat. You can go online. All the registrations are open. You can see different ones, locations, days of the week. There's something for everybody. There's family crews. There's men's, women's crews. Everybody welcome crews. There's something for everybody. And I really encourage you, if you've just been coming around here and you've never taken a next step or you've been involved in a crew last season, jump in again and bring some friends with you. Everybody's welcome. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And if you don't know what crew to go to, we got this amazing thing kicking off on September 2nd. It's called Next. It's our next classes. You give me 4 weekends, and I'll teach you about what our church culture is, what we believe, who we are, and our hope is that you'll make this place home. Number two, we'll teach you spiritual foundations, how to read your Bible, how to pray, how to connect with good Christian community, and how to live a generous life. Week number three, we'll give you a gift assessment, spiritual gifts assessment. We'll teach you and help you go a next step further on God's design for your life so you can find your perfect fit for serving in this church. And week four, we'll start even teaching you about how to grow your leadership a little bit and get you on a new track. So you give me 4 weekends, man, we'll get you on a brand new pathway in life, and it's going to be awesome. So if you're interested in that too, you can stop by the Connect Corner and sign up or go online, mycitychurch.cc/next, and it's going to be awesome. And so excited. Well, how many are you ready for today? How many are excited for God's word this morning? And man, it's going to be incredible. In week number one, we kind of looked at this little thing that patterns reveal purpose, and purpose points to a designer. That there's patterns in our life, the way we create things, the way we think through things, and those patterns tell us that there's a designer to this thing, and that designer of our life is God, that God has built his plan naturally to be discovered on the inside of our life. And we also learned this, that God's plan is destiny. God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for your life. You're not here by accident. God has something he wants you to do and achieve, and not only that, he wants to do it with you. God has a destiny for you, but it's developed through your design. That God has actually put everything in your life that you need to walk in what he's purposed for you. And we looked at this simple pattern of how we create things in our life. It's simply this. Everything starts with a thought. That thought turns into an imagination. That imagination, lived on long enough, will turn into a vision. That vision will turn into a plan, and that plan will lead to your actions. You always want to know, how did I get here? Just trace it all the way back to your thought life, and that's how you'll solve it. That's why the Bible says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And last week we looked at our thoughts and how we wrestle with those and how we bring those in alignment for God's very best in our life. And the way we do it is not to live by our own thoughts, but to borrow God's thoughts. What does he say about us? And who does he say we are? And if we get that not just in our head, but in our heart, and let that drive our thought life, what we will begin to do is shape our identity around Christ. And that is a life that can be trusted. That's a life that we can build something on. And that's the beginning stages of God's plan for your life, is that you would wholeheartedly believe what he declares over your life. Not what your mistakes, not what your past, or not what somebody else has said about you, but what God says about you. And we would let our thoughts live on that, man. It's the beginning of a beautiful destiny that God wants to partner with us in. And today, I want to pick up in that pattern and look at our imaginations. If you got your Bible with me today, Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to read verses 5 through 11. And this is a story about a man named Joseph in the Bible. Probably one of my all-time favorite characters in the Bible. Could not have got more wrong. But he continued to let God work on him, and he ended up walking in his destiny. And it's such a beautiful story. And here's what happens. It says, now Joseph had a dream. Throughout this lesson, throughout this talk, I'll interchange imagination and dream kind of together. And now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Let your haters be your elevators. Come on, somebody. Anybody. All right. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more because of this dream and for his words. How many of you know, sometimes it's just good to zip it. You know what I mean? If people ain't having, you know, they want to roll with you, that's fine. Just keep it to yourself and keep moving on. But, and then he just doubles down in this, and he goes, then he dreamed still another dream and told his brothers and said, look, I had a dream. I dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. I want to attach one more supporting scripture attached to this great story. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, cast down every imagination. Some scriptures say vain imagination. What's vain? It's anything that's self-focused. So cast down every self-focused imagination and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. It was all a dream. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Okay, anyway, for all of us that grew up around 90s hip-hop, you all got that reference. For all of you who didn't, sorry. Anyway, how many are ready to pray this morning? We're going to pray that God's going to move in this service. Father, we thank you today, Lord God, that you are here today. God, I pray that you would, Lord God, teach us your plan. Lord God, that you would help us to renew our mind. Lord God, therefore transforming our imagination. Lord God, I pray you'd move, you'd speak to people today. God, I pray if there's anybody in this room today that's feeling discouraged, Lord God, they just feel like they're at the end of their rope. God, I pray that at the end of this day, they would leave here with their eyes back on you, hope in their heart, knowing that the best is yet to come in their life. Lord, we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, if you love Jesus this morning, let's put our hands together for him. So, have you ever just found yourself daydreaming? Any one of those people that you're perpetually stuck in a daydream? I'm kind of a little bit of one of those people. Oftentimes people will be trying to talk to me, and I perceive to be in another world. Have you ever heard the statement, Earth to Jesse? Earth to Jesse is my wife's favorite one. It's my wife's favorite one, because like the pretense is you're in another world right now. Come back to reality. Come back to reality. And I don't know if it's because I was the only child, and when you're an only child, you just kind of get used to playing by yourself, I guess, or what it is, but I've kind of always been kind of a daydreamer. I use my imagination a lot, and I used to use it a lot when I was a kid. I was pretty sports-driven my whole life. I loved playing sports. And when I was younger, I loved playing basketball because, how many of you know, basketball is the best sport to play by yourself. Like, really, really hard to play volleyball by yourself, or really hard to play, you know what I mean? Like, football, it's just running at that point. And that's not fun. And so basketball always worked really good by myself. I'd go out and shoot some hoops, and I would always use my imagination. Like, I wouldn't settle for just playing horse. You know what I mean? Against myself. like H, you got an O. I always won, though. I wouldn't settle for just playing horses myself. I used to love Michael Jordan, okay? Like, I grew up in the era of Michael Jordan, okay? And I don't care what anybody says, he is GOAT, okay? Let's just put that out there. I don't care. I love LeBron. I love all these people. But, come on, people. It's not even, it's like, there's like Michael Jordan, and then everybody else is in the competition. But Michael Jordan, I used to imagine playing one-on-one with Michael Jordan. Okay? Like, I'd be there, and he'd be like, ah, and I'd be like, ah, you know what I mean? Like, and we'd be playing and going and whatever, and Michael always had that, come on, you remember the move. It was like, back up, back up, back up, back up, whoo, and then his fadeaway, and you're like, how does he do it every time? It's like, does somebody, like, not clue into this, you know what I mean? So what I would do is I would imagine practicing his own move on him, and when I made it, I'd be like, yeah, take that, MJ, take that. And, you know, I mean, it made me feel good, and you know, I'd imagine these things. I'd imagine, how many of you know when you're playing Michael Jordan one-on-one, you always win in your imagination? Like, things always go great. Like, you know, one of the things I found about daydreaming in our imagination? Have you noticed that you are the star of your own imagination? Like, just think about it for a moment. Like, when you're dreaming of the future, like, when you're dreaming of some kind of great success in your life, I mean, like, let's be honest. Have you noticed that you are 9 times out of 10 the star in your imagination? I find this one of those things that I think is this, it's kind of comical. It's kind of more real than we would probably want to admit when we imagine a future dating relationship. We're not thinking about how good it's going to be for the other person. We're thinking about how good it's going to be for us because we are the star of our own imagination. You know what I found about that is that somewhere because of that, there is a built-in feeder of self in our lives. Like, just think about it, that if the thing that we're using to create our future revolves around us, how many of you could see a potential pitfall in that if we're following Jesus? That if our life is supposed to be about him and his purposes and his kingdom and the life that he's called us to, if we're trying to find God's plan, being obsessed with ourselves may not be the best way to go. Here's what I want you to understand. Our imaginations either build our plans or God's plans for our lives. See, our imagination, this is God's great gift to you. The unfortunate part is that many people don't use it, and when they do use it, they let the devil hijack it to feed their self-motivation rather than their God motivation. Here's what I want you to understand. God has a plan for your life, but friends, oftentimes, me is not a part of the equation. I hate to break it to you, but like, we are called to live a selfless life. Like, you know, that was the great plan for the gospel. That we would come to lose our life to gain it. That we are serving and living in an upside down kingdom. So normally what we would use to feed ourselves and to feed our own image and our own motivation, that is a simple thing that God wants to transform in our life. Man, if there's ever a story in the Bible where this is so prevalent, it's Joseph. You got to get this, man. Joseph is literally, this is the beginning stages of the children of Israel. Joseph is one of Israel's sons. He will become one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He has got 12 brothers, and he is the favorite amongst his brothers. Some of you grew up with brothers and sisters. I was an only child, so I was the favorite no matter what. Even if they wanted to get with me, they didn't have any other option. But if you grew up with other brothers, like, or sisters, man, there's nothing more annoying than having the teacher's pet or daddy's favorite or those kind of language going on amongst brothers and sisters, you know? But that's who Joseph was. He really was. And not only that, his dad kind of made it known. His dad put on a coat of many colors on him. He said, you are blessed, you are favored. His dad, like, visibly saw. Imagine this. You got 12 brothers and sisters, and one of them's raging around in a rainbow coat. Like, I'm special, I'm special. Don't forget, see my coat? Special. You know what I mean? Like, this is Joseph. He's got this thing. And that level of confidence has put himself in a place to dream. Never underestimate a little bit of confidence. Confidence is not your enemy. Confidence is your friend. But confidence has to be submitted to God's purposes or it can become your greatest enemy. And Joseph has this level of confidence and he's put himself in this place that is open to receiving a great dream. And God gives him a dream. And I want to give you a highlight here. See, the dream wasn't the problem. It was Joseph's imagination about the dream that got him in trouble. See, you can have the right thing and have the wrong motivation and it lead to your destruction. But you can have the right thing with the right motivation and it lead to God's great plan for your life. See, Joseph has this dream that his brothers and sisters and fathers are going to bow down to him. And what does his imagination go to? It doesn't physically say this in the Bible, but we can draw some conclusions because his brothers are not happy with him. And he never makes an objection saying, no, that's not what I believe this dream is about. I think that could have saved him a lot of pain in the future. But I think he really thought that God was going to put him at the head and not the tail. And all that meant was everybody else was going to serve him. See, his imagination was leading him down a pathway that was not God's plan. It was actually his plan. And God begins to go to work on Joseph. The remainder of the story of Joseph's life is God's great initiative to bring about God's plan in his life. See, he had the right dream, the wrong motivation. So God went to work about changing that so what? Joseph could walk into all the plan God had for him. Now, I want to kind of hone in just a little bit here. We're going to kind of put Joseph to the side. I'm going to loop him back in here as we kind of work through this process. But I want to talk to you just for a moment on imagination. Imagination, the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of an external objects not present to your senses. Which means, like, you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't understand it, but you can visualize it. Just think about that for a moment. The word imagination, what's the word hidden in that word? Image. So literally, when we are framing our imagination, what are we doing? We are creating an image of the future we want to see. We are putting an image out there. And one of the things about this is like, man, it would be like this. It would be like me showing you a picture of Hawaii. And you're like, man, that's beautiful. I want that in my future. Anybody else with me? Amen. Amen. And you know, I want that in my future. But how many of you know there's a big difference between having that imagination and then having a vision? Because a vision actually has to put a plan together, save money, get there. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at next week. But imagination, here's what I want you to understand. Imagination is forming an image of the future. My question is, who is at the center of your canvas? Who's at the center of your canvas? Is it a picture of you looking awesome? Is it a picture of you like ruling the world? Is it an image of 12 brothers and sisters bowing down and serving you? Or is it an image that is totally different? Is it an image that is based on our God thoughts and our God identity? See, here's what I want you to understand. When the question of identity has not been answered, our imagination will always be fractured. Then until you wholeheartedly realize that I have everything that I ever need, I have forgiveness for my sins. I have the promise of a hope in a future. I have been restored. I have been redeemed. I am a child of God. See, it's one thing to say that, friends. It's a whole other thing to believe it in your heart of hearts. See, Joseph had took in what his father had said about him, and instead of letting it settle him into confidence, it produced pride and arrogance in his life that God had to work out of him. Here's the thing that I really want you to understand today, that when we imagine our future, we're creating an image, and that image starts with our own image of ourselves. You will work your imagination through your thoughts, and your thoughts have to begin with what God says about you. And if you don't have that resolve that if God doesn't do anything more for me, then he's already done. He's already done enough. That you are chosen, you are favored, you are graced. And that any, no matter what happens on this earth, how do you know? In the end, we win. We win. That's good news. That's good news. That is the good news of the gospel. Until we have settled that, we will always live out of an image that is inferior rather than confidence that comes from God, which allows us to what? Begin to serve rather than give. Let me ask you this. Who is the star of your imagination? Like, just be honest this morning. It's cool. It's cool. If I'm honest, 50-50, I'm usually the star of my imagination. When I was younger, it was a whole lot worse. Man, I can't remember when I first started feeling called to do what I do now. You know what I used to sit around and dream about? I used to sit around and dream about preaching to thousands of people. Preaching to thousands of people. And I thought that was like so amazing. Like God's going to use me. Little did I know that God was never going to put that in my hand until I got rid of that. Until the focus of my frame changed in a big, you know what I spend most of my time dreaming? How can I help 1,000 other people do that? See, God will work on your imagination until it is less self-serving because God is a selfless God and he calls us to be selfless people. So today I want to talk to you about two main focuses of your imagination. Two main focuses of your imagination. And here's the first one. I'm gonna present questions to you. Is Jesus at the center of your attention? So when you imagine your future, what is that future aiming towards? What are your relationships aiming towards? What's that potential future marriage aiming towards? What's your calling? What's your job? What's your mission? What's your business plan? What is it all leading towards? Here's what I found, friends. If you don't attach it to the purposes and plans of God with your life, God's going to go to war against that thing because it's competing with his best for your life. So when we imagine ourselves, I just see people do this. Man, I've got such big dreams, but I feel such big opposition. Well, friends, sometimes I think the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God wants us to live out Galatians 2:20 that says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by what? Faith in who? The Son of God. He's got to be the center of attention in our imagination. Because why? He gave himself up for us and he loved us. Man, I want to be a 220 kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that when I look and consider at my life, I don't look out there and go, man, I'm going to be the star of my imagination. I'm going to be the star of my universe. No, 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 friends. I serve somebody so much better than myself. I'm not all that great. I died a while ago. That's what happened when I came to Christ. I said, no, not my life anymore. We all found out how that went. Wasn't all that great. So I'm not going to give my life away and then pick it back up in my imagination. No, friends, I'm going to give my life away. Sometimes I want to quit. Sometimes I don't have a life. It's his. So I'm going to keep him at the center of my imagination because when I fix my eyes on Christ, the world passes away and heaven becomes a reality to my world. And that's where we begin to imagine God-sized dreams. Here's what I would encourage you with. Whatever you're imagining God for, I would attach your imagination to God's mission. So you're a singer-songwriter. Boy, I'd attach that to God's mission somehow. Doesn't mean you have to be a Christian artist. It just means what? It needs to be attached to God's mission. You want to build a business and you want it to be blessed and you want it to thrive, I would attach it to God's mission. Some of the greatest businessmen that I know, they determined early on before they start, and all the entrepreneurs we're raising up in this house are committed to going, hey, we're going to tithe from our business. Because whatever we're looking God to build, what are we going to do? We're going to make sure that he's the end goal, yeah, that building his kingdom, his church, and his purposes. Hey, I don't have a life. All I have is what God has put in my hands, and I'm going to imagine using those to maximize God's kingdom on planet Earth. That when we imagine God and his mission, what we will begin to find is a sense of clarity and a sense of God's blessing on our life. Here's what I found. Our focus has got to shift from me or from we. Oh, that's not right. You change that for me next service. Anyway, that's called a psych. Our focus, what it should say is our focus should be on, oh, that's right. I don't know who decided to let me do this morning, but whatever, man. All right, our focus should be on we, not me. That when we're imagining things, here's what I would say. If it's not on we, you've got way too small of an imagination. Because here's what I would tell you. Any God dream that God's going to give you is going to be bigger than yourself anyway, friends. So it better be others driven, others focused. Here's what I want. Here's a little equation that'll help you. We equals, in this order, Jesus plus others plus me. It's not absent of you. No, no. In fact, when we put Jesus first and we make others our mission, we ended up finding life. We end up finding what we were looking for in a place we never went looking before. We, Jesus, and others. See, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is the center of it all. He's the center of it all. Every passage of scripture and Bible book has Jesus at the center of it. Here's what I want you to see. Genesis, Jesus is our creator. Exodus, he is our Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's the high priest. Numbers, he's water in the desert. Deuteronomy, he's our deliverance. And Joshua, he's the Lord commander. Judges, he's the Lord of peace. Ruth, he's our redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he's prophet, priest, and king. In 2 Samuel, he's the rock of our salvation. In 1 Kings, he's the builder of the temple. In 2 Kings, he is the reigning King Almighty. In 1 Chronicles, the son of David that rules. In 2 Chronicles, the king who reigns eternally. In Ezra, the priest proclaiming freedom. In Nehemiah, the restorer of what is broken. In Esther, the protector of his people. In Job, the mediator between God and man. In Psalms, he is our song. In Proverbs, he is wisdom and a strong tower. Friends, I can keep on going. He's the center of our world. He's the thing that's holding this whole thing together. If I'm going to imagine on something, it's going to be him. I'm going to get him out in my front view. Jesus is the center. See, he is the center of all things. He should be the center of our imagination. For I fix my eyes, not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want to make sure that the vision that I'm going to create out of my imagination is not one birthed out of this earth, but is one birthed out of heaven. I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. Number two, is our focus making a difference? Is the focus of what we're imagining, is it more money? More stuff? I can always hear it in people's language. I'm going to be a success. I don't know if I'm going to be or not. It ain't up to me. And who defines that anyway? I got one person who defines that in my world, and his name is Jesus. See, I want the focus of my imagination. Jesus, others. How can I make a difference? Friends, you want to know how to build a great business for your life? You don't think about how you can get money from people. No, 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 no. That's how you go broke. You think about how can I best serve somebody. When Steve Jobs built Apple, he determined that if they were going to open a retail store, that the mission of that retail store was never to sell anybody. It was to educate and empower people. $1 trillion later in net worth seems to be working, friends. See, when our mission is self-serving, you're going to get yourself. How many of you know yourself ain't all that great? I don't want myself. I want God's great plan for my life. So I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to imagine on these things. When others are the focus of our imagination can begin to make a difference. I want to tell you a story here today. How many of you know the YMCA? The YMCA, so a lot of people think of it as a gym now. It's actually Young Men's Christian Association. That's what it started with. It was a missionary journey to make a difference, not only in inner cities, but with young men that they thought that they could communicate the gospel by getting people active. It's all over the world. The YMCA started out as a missionary organization all over the world. And this man by the name of Dr. Charles Naismith, I don't know if you know who that is, but he's the inventor of basketball. He was a born-again believer. He was on a mission to make a difference in young men's life. And they ran into this little thing. That was his purpose. That's what he was imagining about. He had Jesus at the center. He had others as his focus. And here's what started to happen. They were in Massachusetts, and during the winter, it's brutal winters, and they were having a hard time living out their mission because most sports, baseball and football and soccer, these are all outside sports. And so he's like, man, we've got to come up with something to get the young guys to be able to do that they can play inside. And so he started putting some imagination to it, started playing around with it. And he saw a young boy playing, and there was a peach basket over there, like a peach basket, like an old school, like peach basket, right? And the little boy was trying to kick the soccer ball into the peach basket. Put it up there. Well, how tall is the ladder? Literally, this is how the 10-foot rule came in. How tall is the ladder? Oh, 10 foot. Okay, we'll put it up there. You didn't even cut a hole in the bottom of it. Just put it up there, and, you know, so can you imagine seeing this? Can you imagine watching the first basketball game? You know, like people doing weird stuff. Nobody understands this yet. Hasn't been invented yet, you know what I mean? And so they're all playing around, and pretty soon they started playing, and the kids were loving it, man. They were like, this is so fun. We can do this inside. And he started to realize, man, I got to put some rules to this thing, because this is like people were getting hurt. It's like a full contact sport, which would be more like the kind of basketball I'd like to play, to be honest with you. And, you know, he starts putting some rules. He came up with 13 original rules. 13 original rules that made up basketball. Back in the day, there was no such thing as dribbling when he first created it. You had to pass it from spot to spot, and you stop, and then you had to pass it again, and all this kind of stuff. And they would play, and for some reason, they couldn't figure out to just cut a hole in the bottom of the peach basket. And so every time they made a basket, somebody had to get a ladder out and pull it out and do all this kind of stuff. But the imagination kept on going, and pretty soon this thing started to catch on. And somebody told him, hey, you probably need to like patent this thing or come up with some kind of thing so you can make some money off of this. And he goes, no, idea didn't come from me. I believe it came from God. I think God gave me this idea to make a difference in these young people's life. Well, pretty soon it caught on. Pretty soon colleges started playing it. And literally by 1940, we had the creation of the NBA. This brilliant idea, can I tell you, it is a literally multi-billion dollar a year industry right now. Probably trillions of dollars worth of industry right now that this man had an idea. And some of you might be thinking, well, what did he get out of it? Well, I think God is a great keeper of heart. And some years later, a man came to him and said, hey, what you've brought to our country, what's this brought to our communities, to our high schools, to our colleges, do you still have the original 13 rule sheet that you wrote down? And he goes, matter of fact, I do. And the guy said, hey, I'll give you $25 million for it if you'll sign it and give it to me. Is that at the end of his life? He lived his whole life on a mission for God. Never worried about money. Never worried about getting his or being a great success or being something significant or being the center of his imagination. No. Some kids in Massachusetts were the center of his imagination. And God looked down at a man and said, man, that's a man I can trust. That's a man. And God is just keeping records the whole time. And now he's ready to retire. The man's retiring with $25 million in the bank. And, well, he could have had so much more. Friends, if you're going to live that way, you're going to live a life that is miserable. You may gain the whole world but lose your soul. I want an imagination that what is not about reward, because what if my imagination is about a reward? You know what I'll find myself doing? I'll find myself hoarding all the great things God gives me. And whatever we hoard dries up in our life. Whatever we continue to release flows freely in our life. Can I tell you, that's the power of generosity. That's why we try to teach tithing around here. It's not because we need your money or want your money. It's because I understand this. Whatever you try to keep to yourself ends up drying up in your life. Whatever you release into God's purposes, it begins to flow in your life. And see, friends, I want to create a church with some great big imagination kind of people. I want people who see all the strategy and all the pieces. And sometimes I just sit and I think about, if our church was 10,000 people, what would it feel like? What would it look like? Who would be there? How many people are not in this room yet that need to be in this room that I'm believing for and dreaming for? Because it's God's purposes on our life that I believe our church wants to bring about. And I begin to think about the kind of people I want to be and the kind of people we want to be around here. And you know what? I want to make the biggest difference with the biggest people for the greatest God that we possibly can, man. And that starts with us looking at our life going, you know what, man? I'm going to believe God's thought in my life. I'm going to lead my imagination. I'm going to be that kind of person. You know what? In the middle of it, I'm going to put others first, and I'm going to believe that God is going to lead my imagination. And out of that imagination is going to become this beautiful vision for my life. Here's what I would say to you. If you aren't confident enough to serve, success is beyond you. If the mission of our life isn't to serve humanity, success is just going to be running away from you. You may gain stuff, but success is an inside work, friends. If serving is beneath you, success is beyond you. It's going to keep on running away from you. And that's why I want to remind you today, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is what God went to work actively on in Joseph's life. So much to the point where at the end of Joseph's life, when he's the head of Egypt, he's the most powerful man on planet Earth, his brothers and his father show up, and in that moment he realizes, oh, that's what that dream was about. That dream wasn't about you serving me. That was about me serving you and saving your life. Prison, palace, pit, all kinds of things. God trying to work in. Hey, it's service. So what are we to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We are to cast down every vain imagination, everything that would be centered around us. We're to grab that thing and say, no. This is going to be about Jesus. What I think on, what I dream on, is going to be about Jesus. It's going to be about making a difference in people's life. Everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God and his goodness and what his plans are in life, I'm going to bring it into captivity, every thought to what? The obedience of Christ. And I believe this. So when we do that, when we begin to get those kinds of imaginations and thoughts going in our life, God's plan begins to chase us down rather than us chasing after it. Here's my prayer for you this morning. That wherever you are, you would understand that God's great plan for your life isn't that you would have to chase after your destiny. God's great plan for your life is that you would live in such a way that your destiny will chase you down. It'll come after you. It'll come after you. Because why? We have a Father in heaven who's paying attention. And friends, he's not paying attention to where you went to school, what your degree is, how successful you think you are in the eyes of man. He's looking right here. Is he the center of your world? Are your thoughts on helping him make a difference on planet Earth? And I believe if when we get that, man, we're going to get vision, we're going to get plan, and our actions are going to change forevermore. How many of you believe that this morning? Why don't we stand to our feet all over this place?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.